All right, let's get it on, and welcome to a special hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show, where we talk about restaurants, travel, movies, books, sports, and whatever we feel like talking about. One of the most fascinating topics I have found on the show, and one that I get the most feedback on from listeners, is books. They love the fact that I'm a voracious reader. They love the fact that I share them, that we have a book club that is well attended, a little bit unorthodox for a book club, but completely different. We have a lot of fun with it, and that we get authors on this show, well-known authors, big-name authors. We also occasionally try to get some local authors on the show. And one of the questions that's most often asked is, of the author, what is your writing style? What is your schedule? How do you put out a book? Nelson DeMille, tremendously popular and a good friend of the show, up until recently, wrote all of his best-selling novels in pencil, longhand, on legal pads. He has since acquiesced to the publishing world and got it a little bit more technical. Janet Ivanovich. Everybody knows Janet Ivanovich. You want a good laugh, you read a Janet Ivanovich Stephanie Plum book. And she writes every day. She will tell you that Monday through Friday, she writes for 8 hours a day. On Saturday and Sunday, she writes for 4 hours each day. She doesn't want to lose her edge. She doesn't want to stop writing. She doesn't want to get out of the habit. Steve Barry will tell you that when he comes on with us about a new book in February or March, he's already got a book in the can, done and at the publisher, for the following year. So I figured who better to talk about this, the process, than with my next guest. His name is David Brown. Brad Thor calls him, quote, the best damn publicist in the book business. He also represents Jack Carr. He also represents the Vince Flynn family, who has now hired Don Bentley, and we're going to have Don on before too long, to carry on the Mitch Rapp series. So he's the top of the line. He's as big as there is, and I figured if we need some answers, we'll go right to him. We've got him on the line. David Brown, welcome to the show. I know you're the guy who likes to be in the background, but thanks for taking the time and sharing it with the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.
It's my pleasure. It's been a pleasure to work with you for all these years and to share all the great authors that I work with you and your audience.
You know what, David? I would imagine that, is it typical to, and we're just setting the tone for the show, but is it typical for one publicist to work with three big names like the Vince Flynn family, Jack Carr, Brad Thor? These are as hot as it gets. Is it typical to work with three authors like that typically?
I imagine that it is. I can't imagine that. I know I consider myself lucky because I have these three big names. And of course, Brad and Vince, they may have been big names before I started, but Jack Carr is fairly new. But there are other big publicists and there are other big authors. So I'm sure that two or three of them are assigned to one person somewhere in the industry.
All right.
Probably several other people I'm sure are just like me. I can't imagine that I'm unique.
That you're unique. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to find out the difference between a publisher and a publicist
on the Mike Boyle
Restaurant Show, where we talk about a lot of different stuff. But we're talking about books. And you know, one of the things that I've found, my guest is David Brown. He is with Simon & Schuster. One of the things that I have found, David, is that whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a book, the listenership has always wondered, how does this stuff come together? And I find myself being fascinated by that as well. I published two dining guides in Colorado back in 2004, 2005. I wrote them. I went to the local independent newspaper publisher and said, I'd like to do this. And he said, I think it's a worthwhile project. He put his staff on it. He used his resources. We put it out, 5,000 copies each year. And I, of course, was the publicist. I, of course, was the guy that went on the air and said, I've got this book, and we sold out year after year. Well, I've also learned that a lot of authors will tell me, yes, I have a publicist, but he's not doing as good a job for the money I'm paying him or her, so I'm thinking about moving on. Or as they get bigger, they become more attractive to another publicist, another publisher. You are the publicist. Can you explain the relationship between Simon & Schuster, the publisher, and you, the publicist, please?
They are. I work for them. I work for Simon & Schuster, so I am an employee of Simon & Schuster.
All right. But your responsibility, at what point does an author become so big that a Simon & Schuster will publish him as opposed to a smaller house or even self-published? And then, because aren't there a lot of authors out there that hire a publicist to get the word out?
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of publicists do. Well, it's rare. Where I said I wasn't unique before, and I'm not unique, like I'm not a unicorn, but it is kind of rare for I've been here at Simon & Schuster, Atria Books, since 2005. So it is rare for a person in publicity to stay at one publisher for that long. It's sort of a migrant position where in order to move up, you have to bounce around from publisher to publisher. So it is rare that a author would have the same publicist for their entire career as a lot of my authors have. Mm-hmm. So when a big name author is at a house for a long time, a publishing house for a long time, and they see their publicist bounce around, you know, they may have a different publicist for every... When I started with Vince Flynn in 2005, it was his seventh book, mm-hmm. and I was his seventh publicist.
Wow.
So he would have been well within his rights, and probably in his right mind, to have seen six publicists come and go, and each time he's starting fresh, there's no institutional memory. He might have said, you know what, it would make sense for me to have someone for my entire career that I can carry over from year to year, remember what went well last year, what didn't, adjust, and not start from scratch every year. So someone like that, it would have made sense that he would have hired an outside publicist, where there are many of them and many really good ones, and they come at many different price points and with lots of different experience. He didn't, and it turned out that I remained with him the rest of his life, sad to say, because he passed away in 2013.
13, yes.
Yeah. So it is rare. So the reason authors would go outside the publisher's publicist that gets assigned to them is because they want some consistency in their career.
I interviewed Vince while I was on the pier at a beach in South Carolina, driving my daughter around the country. It was the 4th of July weekend, and Vince did an interview live with me from his family barbecue on the 4th of July, probably 2003 or so. So that would have been before you were representing him, but you've obviously convinced the family, because he died in 2013. They went with Kyle Mills. We had Kyle Mills on for all eight of his Mitch Rapp books. And now coming up soon, we'll have Don Bentley. And are you involved in the selection process at all when the family says we'd like to continue the Mitch Rapp series, we'd like to use Kyle Mills and on to Don Bentley? Are you involved in that process at all, David?
I am not. Okay. Emily Bessler, who is the editor, was Vince's editor and carried through the series, is also the publisher of these books. And she and the family and Vince's agent are the ones that make that decision.
Okay. All right. So when somebody is big, like Jack Carr, Brad Thor, we recently had Brad Thor, fascinating book, Shadow of Doubt. He does a tremendous job. when they come to Simon & Schuster, when Simon & Schuster says, we want to publish your books, you are hot authors, we'd like you to be in our stable, do they then request a publicist? Do they then say, well, boy, that guy David Brown has done a heck of a job for the Vince Flynn family, we'd like him to handle our books as well?
It is, and that is, that happens. It is possible. Brad started before I did at Simon & Schuster, and he started his career here. So, you know, when you're a brand new author, you probably don't get that type of stay. Jack Carr also started his career here. But by that point, I've had success with Vince and Brad, so it was a natural choice to assign me the Jack Carr books.
All right. Now, do you?
But it is possible that if a big name author would come over, they could say, I want the guy that does these books. It is possible.
All right. His name is David Brown, and he is the publicist with Simon & Schuster. He represents Brad Thor. He represents Jack Carr and the Vince Flynn series with a new author coming out named Don Bentley. And we're going to be talking to him before too very long here on the Restaurant Travel Movies and Book Show. David, I want to take a quick break, but when we come back, I've got a lot more questions for you. I find this fascinating, and I appreciate you taking the time to share some information with us. All right?
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and be back on the Restaurant Show, where we talk about a lot of different stuffs. I am a voracious reader. And when I see that my guest, David Brown, when I see him pop up on my caller ID, when I see an email from David Brown, I know that good things are going to happen to me because he represents Brad Thor, Jack Carr, and Don Bentley, who has picked up the Mitch Rapp series with the Vince Flynn family, because I know that a book is on the way. How often do you have other people that you represent besides the big three?
Oh, yeah. I probably represent about 10 to 12 that come out every year.
Okay.
And then there are always some one-offs that come out, authors that are not once-a-year books. Uh-huh. So I would say, I guess, 20 books a year, maybe.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So,
maybe a little less, 15. Yeah. Now, 15 to 20.
Now, do you read every book of every one of your clients?
I read every book of every one of my clients.
Wow. Man, you are a voracious reader. All right, so besides the big three, is there a name or two or three that you would like to give a plug to? A name or two or three that we might be familiar with?
Well, I don't know. Did we have Terry Hayes on your show?
Terry Hayes, I am telling you what, yes, we had him on. And the last book, The Year of the Locust, am I right on that?
Yes. Yeah, the year of the locust. Yeah.
Here's how much I trust David Brown. It showed up on my doorstep one day, and I opened it. I mean, I didn't know what it was, but it weighed about like a brick. So I picked it up.
That's a big fat book, yeah.
So I picked it up, and listeners know, David, that if I pick up a book, I'm going to finish it. I'm not one of these, I read 10 pages and I didn't like it. I read a chapter or two, I didn't like it. Nope. To me, it becomes, if I'm going to go run 5 miles, David, I don't stop at three. I just figure it's a discipline. I think it's a commitment. So anyway, I opened up this book and I sent David an email. And I'll paraphrase, but I'm pretty close. David, just received the Terry Hayes book. 838 pages, seriously? and you wrote back and said, Mike, you'll love it. And I did. And I covered.
Oh, thank God.
Yes, and Terry was a fascinating interview, very futuristic book. I'm not into sci-fi, but it was very futuristic. I took it to the book club, and a number of listeners/book club members have read the entire thing. I think he writes a book about once every 10 years, so you're off the hook for a little while, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a hard book to work on because it was a little controversial. People who read I Am Pilgrim, his first book, were expecting one thing, a very straightforward, I mean, I Am Pilgrim was one of the best spy thrillers ever written, but it was a straightforward spy thriller.
Yes.
And The Year of the Locust starts out that way, and then it veers into other genres that takes turns. So you have to, people have, I had to build a trust with people over a number of years to get them to read this because, and to tell them that it was good because, and for them to believe me because it veered and it's different and it's very different than what was expected.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you told me to read Alice in Wonderland, I'd read it because I'll tell you that I trust you that much. But I read it and I thought it was absolute. And you know what? I think that when it comes to the medium that I'm using here on radio, people call me and they'll say, give me a Mexican restaurant in this area. Or they'll say, I've got friends coming in town. We'd like to go out for an expensive steak to a prime age steakhouse. Can you make a recommendation? I've had people call and say, I'm getting ready to throw a 50th wedding anniversary party for my parents. Can you recommend a restaurant? So there has to be that element of trust in what you do, David. People have to trust you and your recommendations. Don't you agree?
100%, and I want to be, and I try to be so transparent and straightforward with people when I talk to them, because I publicists have a reputation for being, they think of the David Duchovny character in Californication, although he might have been an agent, but like a really slimy type of slick, fast talker. But I want to be straightforward, transparent, and honest. I don't want to ever lie. So because I want to have people trust me. So when I say something is good, they believe me.
What percent? And like I said, folks, when he sent me The Year of the Locust by Terry Hayes, I thought, all right, I'll do this. I've made it very clear, David, to other publicists. You and I've never had this conversation, but as long as you don't send me cookbooks or sci-fi, you and I will get along just fine. I really don't want cookbooks or sci-fi. So, all right. Well, Terry Hayes, very interesting. Got another one, maybe?
Well, something that's out of your comfort zone, right? Is that what?
Because what percentage when you send out a new book? And it's got the press release in it. I don't recall you doing this, but quite often a publicist will send, we'd like to get an interview. We'd love to get some airtime. Here's 5, 8, 10 questions. So one of the things that I've talked about with the authors, some appreciate that you read the book. I would say that most appreciate it because then you can get a little bit into the meat and potatoes of the book as opposed to doing 100 radio interviews and 99% of them are the morning crew asking the same questions that come from the publicist. What percentage of your media people that offer interviews will read the book, will get into it, can offer a fascinating interview, or at least an interesting interview, a different interview?
Let's say 10% read it.
Really? Okay.
50% are able to fake it.
and 40%, the remaining 40%, don't know their butt from their elbow, right? Okay.
And they give the most
glowing.
Real, general, boring, generic interview. When did you want to become a writer? How do you write on a computer? What time do you write during the day? Like the most boring, non-curious type of interview.
You know, David, when it comes to, I'm going to use a beer analogy, okay? When I opened my restaurant 100 years ago, and I worked with Coors Distributing, I'm very close to the Coors family, they had Coors Banquet, which was called Regular at the time, Coors Light, and Killian's. They now have something like 500 or 600 products in their stable, and they're all fighting for shelf space. They're all fighting to be the display in front of the market or the liquor store when you walk in. So you've got 20 people that you represent. Do you hear from at least some of them every day? And do you have some that without giving out, I would imagine that when Jack calls, you take the call. I remember telling people, hey, I had 3 taps. They were all Coors. But a guy that has 6 or 7 or 8 restaurants, if he's got all 3 taps full of Coors, if you call, he gets taken first. That call gets taken before Mike Boyle. And that didn't bother me a lick. But do you have a bunch of authors that you kind of, I mean, Jack Carr, when he gets ready to go on tour, you're with him. You're with him 24/7. Talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. Which part? Who I would hang up on my mom for, or being on tour with Jack Carr?
Yeah. Well, both.
I'll tell you the truth.
I like Jack Carr. Who I'd hang up on my mom for? Go ahead.
I bring that up because Jack Carr was calling me yesterday while I was on the phone with my mom, and I almost hung up with my mom for Jack Carr, and I usually would. But I felt that my conversation with my mom was winding down, and Jack Carr texted me right after he called me and said, call back anytime, I'm free. So I knew I had that leeway. But ordinarily, I probably would hang up on my mom for Jack Carr.
And you've spent a lot of time with Jack, and I've only spent a lot of time on the air with him, a lot of time on the phone, and I've met him in person. Jack Carr comes across as a quality enough guy that would always say, hey, mom comes first.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, for sure. Yeah,
he comes across as just a wonderful, wonderful guy. Now, do you hear from some people maybe once a year, and they say, "I've got my new book; it's ready to come out. Let's rock and roll."
Yeah, there are some authors that I really only hear from during the time that the galley is available and the book comes out. There are some that I hear all year round from. There are some that when they're writing, there's no contact at all. And then when they're done writing, it's an avalanche of contact.
Yeah, we got to get going. Now, we got to put together a tour. We got to, yeah.
Exactly, right, yeah. Everyone's different.
Just this frenzy of activity. Hey, do me a favor. Explain, we're coming up on a quick break, but when we come back, you said when the galley comes out. I'd like for you, when we come back, I quite often get a hard copy of the book that's already been published, but quite often I'll also get a galley. We're talking with David Brown. He's an ace publicist with Simon & Schuster, been doing it for years. He represents Jack Carr, Brad Thor. He represents Vince Flynn. The Vince Flynn family, I guess I should say, and Terry Hayes and a number of other talented, talented writers. So let's talk about galleys and the hardcover when we come back.
Moving on with David Brown,
publicist with Simon & Schuster, because one of the things that we love talking about here is books. We love having authors on the show. If you've ever been to one of my book clubs, you know that we will have, either in person or virtually, an author. We will also have, quite often, a local author, an aspiring author, somebody who may be self-published, who's trying to make it in the literary world. So it's not your mama's book club. It's not one of these. We're not sitting around drinking coffee and eating cookies. We're not talking about whether or not John really loved Mary in the book. We have a lot of fun with it. We talk about a lot of different stuff at the book club. Maybe that's why it's a little unconventional. We have it at the View House restaurant, where we order a nice meal. We have a private party room. But one of the books that we typically talk about, it's always going to be Jack Carr. We're always going to talk about Brad Thor. We're always going to talk about the people that my guest David Brown represents. David, explain the time frame on publishing. So an author calls you and says, I'm done with my book. That starts the meter running, I guess, on when the publisher can get the book into the system and begin printing it. Is that correct? And where does the galley come in?
Yeah, I realized when I said galley in the last segment that that's such a industry term that only quote unquote
only,
insiders
yeah,
I would, know.
Only us cool people know. Yeah.
So. Yeah, a galley is a pre-publication edition of the book. So it's not totally copy edited. You're going to find some mistakes in it, but we want to get the book out early to reviewers, because a lot of especially magazines. It's less so this day and age than in previous when there were a lot more magazine and a lot more magazine space dedicated to book reviews. Now, but magazines take months and months and months to put out. So we wanted to give them as much lead time. So the galley would come out usually if all is done right. Now, a lot of my authors write very close to the deadline, so sometimes they don't even have time for galley. But the proper or the more the traditional way of doing it is about 5-6 months before the book comes out, the hardcover comes out, a galley will come out so that we can share that with the media. We also started sharing it with super fans so we can get the buzz going. And get some excitement building up until the on sale date, and then use some of that buzz to hopefully get some media. So if fans start coming back and say, this is the best book Brasseur ever wrote, I can go to the media and say, you know what, a lot of his super fans, they've read all his books and they're saying this is the best, you should cover this one. So the galleys are important for the publicity process.
How important, you touched on something there, it would seem to me, David, you and I have a good relationship. Like I said, you could send me Clifford the Big Red Dog, and I'd read it, and I'd put the author on. But, you know, I think that there's a real trust element. So when you're dealing, and you're dealing with some national media, probably some well-known book review writers, they've got to feel pretty comfortable. You must have a pretty good relationship with many of these people where they trust you and say, hey, David hasn't called us in a while, or this is a new author. Yeah, we'll take a look at it.
Yeah, you see, that's what I try to do with them, is that I don't ask them to read every... Now, this is a secret. When I told you before that I don't lie, you know, I'm not going to tell the author that I didn't push hard for them to get reviewed by People Magazine or this and that. But there are some authors that would never be reviewed by People Magazine. So I don't want to waste People Magazine's time.
Sure.
You
don't want to waste one of your chits.
Exactly. I don't want to waste their time, but I don't want to tell them that you should read this and review this when they never would. I take my chances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I try to build the trust, by promising them. If I'm contacting you, it's because I really truly believe that this should be in your newspaper, on your radio show, on your television show, on your podcast.
And you know what, there's some other, David, this may come as a surprise, but there's other publicists in the business besides you. Does that shock you? You probably knew that. But I've got a number of them that I'll say, I'm just not sure. In my own mind, I'm saying, I'm just not sure this is my kind of book. I'm just not sure that this is... And I've said it on the air. Sometimes I wonder about female thriller writers. There's nothing sexist in that. I'm just telling you that Tammy Hoag writes differently than Brad Thor. And so I will say, but I trust the publicist, and I say, okay, send me the galley or send me the book. And so I just think that there's a big, because we all, you know, time is limited for all of us. And so we have to be very judicious in our use of it and the use of the contacts. I always tell people when I call a restaurant, when I call a publicist, when I call an author, I say, you know what? I'm not calling you to tell you who I think is going to win the football game this week. I'm calling to talk about something in relationship to our relationship. That sounded kind of weird, but you understand what I mean. David, Steve, I did a couple of audiobooks that have done very well. Audiobooks are very hot. What part does that play in your job?
We actually, because they've been so hot, Simon & Schuster as a whole hired an audio publicist to go out and promote the actual audio edition.
Okay.
I know that every sales counts and it's to our benefit. And I know that if an author is going to be on the Today Show, people are going to buy it in all different formats, including the audio. So my work does help sell the audio edition inadvertently, I guess, because I'm really only putting out or publishing or actually promoting the hardcover.
Right.
But this woman was hired to actually get word out about the audio edition and the voice actor or reader that reads it, because they're popular too.
You know, I asked Steve Barry. I called him up and I said, can you give me a couple hints? This is when I was getting ready to do the first one. And he says, Mike, I really don't know very much about it. Because once the publisher acquires the rights to my book and agrees to publish the book and create the audio copy, he says, I relinquish all right. They pick the reader. They pick the voice for the book. And I found that was kind of fascinating.
I don't know if that's always the case. Maybe he needs a better agent, because I know that Jack Carr had a say in who read his book.
You know what?
But maybe that's the way it used to be done, and it's done differently now. I'm sure things have changed. So, Mike, you actually read audiobooks for the Steve Barry series?
No. This is for another author.
But you've narrated audiobooks.
I sure have. You bet.
Oh, wow.
One of them is My Vietnam, A Gift to My Daughter. A guy that I was in the Army with, a guy that he served with, wrote a book about his experience in Vietnam. And later, his adult daughter, in an effort to reconnect with his adult daughter, his daughter said, would you tell me a little bit about the experiences? And he wrote some of them. And she said, this is fascinating. Would you take me back to Vietnam so I can see where you served? And it's not a war book, but the war is the center of what reconnects the father and daughter. And I read it and I enjoyed it. I had him on the air and he asked me to do the audio. And then he came out with another book called Christian's Journey, which is a modern day adaptation of Pilgrim's Progress, and I read that, and both of them are doing very well. I'll tell you this, David. We all read books, and you fall asleep with your book on your chest at night, and then you have to go back and read two or three pages. You have to get caught up a little bit. If you're going to do an audio book, you have to lock yourself in a room and read a book to yourself. It ain't that easy. David, it was interesting because I know authors that I've had on, well-known authors that will say, the book comes out on this date. We can do an interview before, we can put it in the can, but do not air it before the publication date. They think that it helps them shoot to the top of the chart on the New York Times bestseller list. Other people, recently Brad Thor, he said, put it on, get it out there, tell them to pre-order. What is your typical position on that?
Yeah, it's changed over the years. Now that pre-orders are so plentiful and so easy, people can pre-order from Amazon very easily, but
right.
You can also pre-order from any other store. Including in the independent bookstores, because it's so easy and because they pre-orders also count towards week one of the New York Times bestseller list. So when the New York Times bestseller list counts books, they count what sold that week, and they count what sold before it came out, the pre-orders. So it all counts towards week one, which is what everybody is very desirous of, a strong week one sales number. So it's changed. Yeah, it used to be that you only want the media to come out when the books are in the stores and people can see it and go buy it as soon as they hear the interview. Now you can pre-order it. So I am now in the Brad Thor camp.
Okay. Well, and I'll tell you something. I was on a trip recently, just a little road trip, and I pulled into a bookstore, and it was the David Grand book. I've had David Grand on Lost City of Z, but he has a book out called The Wager. And I remember talking to an author who said, here's when it comes out. Well, this is a week, maybe 10 days, and I'm in a Barnes & Noble, and there's this gigantic display of these books, and I thought it hadn't even come out yet. But that was somebody that had chosen to just go ahead and get it out early. That would probably count as a pre-sale. So his name is David Brown. My name is Mike Boyle. He's with Simon & Schuster. He is in the words of Brad Thor, the best damn publicist in the book business. And we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll wrap it up with David. Fascinating conversation. David, I can't thank you enough for making
right,
the time.
We'll
be right
back.
Mike Boyle Restaurant, travel, movies, books, sports, whatever I feel like talking about show. We're talking with David Brown, publicist with Simon & Schuster. Interesting conversation. David, when a book comes out, for example, the most recent Jack Carr book. He was in Colorado, had a nice crowd, about 400 people at the old wildlife experience. It's now part of the Douglas County school system. They've got a beautiful auditorium there right off of Lincoln and I-25. You are on the road for 2 or 3 weeks, day after day after day after day. A store here, a store there, a reading here, a club there. That's got to make for some fun travels a little bit. Do you get a chance to enjoy the towns where you are? Do you get a chance to maybe find a little local pub or something like that?
Oh, we try to, especially when I'm out with Jack Carr. Jack Carr is really fun to travel with. Thank God. I mean, it would be an awful experience.
If you're with somebody for 24/7 for 3 weeks, you better like each other.
Yeah. Oh God, it would be torture. And he is actually a pleasure, and it's fun, and I consider him a friend, and I think he considers me a friend too, which makes it a pleasure. So we try. It's the schedules are so busy, and the flight times are so crazy that we don't often. There was a place in Denver that I wanted to ask you about. It wasn't this year. This year we stayed at the Brown Palace, which was beautiful.
Sure.
But last year's tour, I don't remember the hotel we stayed in, which is why I could never find this speakeasy that was just down the block from this hotel. And it might have been connected to another hotel. I'm not sure. But it was such a cool, old-timey type speakeasy bar where the bartenders were like artists, and he may have even had a handlebar mustache, but he was like, he would make the drinks in front of you, and it was really like art. And I would love to recommend it to people when they go to Denver, but do you know what I'm talking about?
It doesn't come immediately to mind, but I get a lot of calls from people saying, you know, you talked about a hamburger 6 months ago. Can you tell me where you had it? So, so not trying to make you look bad, but you know, if you stayed at the Westin downtown, if you stayed at the Hyatt downtown, there's probably a good chance you wandered down to historic Larimer Square. You might have found yourself in the old Oxford Hotel, which is a 100-year-old hotel right down there near Union Station. So you were somewhere around there, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If you think about the hotel, get back to me and I'll find it for the next time you come out here, and I'll make you a promise. You and I will have a beer down there. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Yeah, I'm gonna try to look back in the archives to see what hotel that was so I can figure out what the speakeasy down the block was, because it was such a fun experience.
You know, I know an author that is very popular and comes out with one book a year, and decided to, and I'm sure that this was part of the publishing house, said, we'd like to have another book. So he got together with another author. We see this with James Patterson a lot. And he now is writing two books a year. Do you see that with Brad Thor? Do you see that with Jack Card? Do you see that with Don Bentley in the Mitch Rapp series, writing another book, maybe a different character, slightly different genre? Do you see that happening with some of those big names like that?
I see that happening in September, because Jack Carr has his first nonfiction book coming out.
Well, that's right, and we've got him scheduled. Yeah. We've got him scheduled not only for a brief appearance at the book club, but the day before, I'm going to interview him in mid-September. So talk a little bit about that book. Let's give it a push.
Yeah, it's called Targeted Beirut, Jack Carr and James Scott, who is a Pulitzer Prize finalist. He's a historian. So they teamed up. Jack wanted to write a series that covered the pivotal the real seminal terrorist attacks that have shaped our world.
And this obviously was the Marine barracks in 83 in Beirut. Yeah,
that is right. Yeah. The Marine barracks bombing in Beirut. Really he called that the origin of the war on terror. So, they interviewed a lot of survivors and family members and read over some documents that were newly declassified. So there's a lot of new revelations in here. It's so well done, and Jack Carr is like you've heard him speak, and you've interviewed him. He's a war historian. He studies the art of warfare and really studies the enemy. This is really in his wheelhouse, history. So I'm glad he's starting this series.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to having him on the air. I'm looking forward to having him do a cameo at the book club. And I'm also looking forward to the book showing up on the front door of my home in Castle Rock, Colorado, David Brown.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, David, thank you. Listen, I mean this. Thank you so much. Folks, he is the consummate professional. And if he tells you he'll do it, he gets it done. We work together very well, and while we don't socialize much, we have at least met each other face-to-face, and I mean that offer about a beer if you get to town, David, but he really does an absolutely wonderful, wonderful job with all of his authors, and I thought it would be fun to share that with the listeners. David, I know you're busy. Thanks for taking the time. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you. This was fun.
All right. David Brown's his name. Simon & Schuster. Yep, I'm Mike Boyle. Let's take a break on The Restaurant Show.